Genjo Koan, actualizing fundamental reality. The Buddha way leaps clear of the many and the one. Thus, there are birth and death, delusion and realization, sentient beings and Buddhas. Therefore, flowers fall even though we love them. Weeds grow even though we dislike them. So, first, I guess I just want to say how grateful I am to be able to sit with you all this morning in practice on this beautiful sunny day, light shining through into our zendo. It feels quite lucky, fortunate, privileged to be able to do this together, to be able to devote ourselves to this practice, this together practice. So many people in this world don't have this opportunity, don't have this chance to practice in this way. I can almost bring tears to my eyes how fortunate I feel that we do have this opportunity, that we have encountered the Dharma, the teachings, that we are part of a school of Zen that supports us, where we have a strong history and lineage and connection to our Soto and Rinzai roots that goes back through time, that we have this ability to have faith in the Dharma, and that we have this chance, each of us, to come together, sit together with each other, just appreciating our shared walking just now, the way that one foot in front of the other, each of us separate beings, and each of us part of one line, moving through our Zendo together. Sometimes this is too much for the mind to take, the notion that we are both individual and that we are one. The mind has this tendency to lean into one side or the other and want just one of those sides to be true. There's a way that this could be a problem for us. I want to read for you a little bit out of the beginning, one of the opening passages from Zen Mind, Beginner's Mind, Shunryu Suzuki, who took his deepest instruction from Eihei Dogen. No, well, of course, his own teachers, but going back in lineage to Dogen, who he cites frequently. He says, "Now I would like to talk about our Zen posture. When you sit in full lotus position, your left foot is on your right thigh, and your right foot is on your left thigh." Now, of course, I think pretty much none of us do that. We have knees that would likely explode. When we cross our legs like this, even though we have a right leg and a left leg, they have become one. Now, this is something that we can understand. The position expresses the oneness of duality. The oneness of duality. Not two and not one. This is the most important teaching. Not two and not one. Our body and our mind are not two and are not one. If you think your body and mind are two, that is wrong. If you think that they are one, that is also wrong. Our body and our mind are both two and one. We usually think that if something is not one, it is more than one. If it is not singular, it is plural. But in actual experience, our life is not only plural, but also singular. Each one of us is both dependent and independent. After some years, we will die. If we just think that it is the end of our life, this will be the wrong understanding. But if, on the other hand, if we think that we do not die, this is also wrong. we die and we do not die. This is the right understanding. Now that is confusing. Let's be honest, this is a very confusing teaching, and that's why the mind wants to rest on one side or the other. Each of us gravitates likely toward oneness or toward independence. And the point is that both of these are actually idealizations. They're both helpful idealizations, and neither one of them is exactly what we encounter in living or in dying. We recently had a talk about the four bodhisattva vows. On Wednesday, I offered a muddy mess about practicing the four bodhisattva vows. Beings are numberless, I vow to free them. Delusions inexhaustible, I vow to end them. Dharma gates boundless, I vow to enter them. The Buddha way unsurpassable, I vow to embody it. The four impossible vows. Beings numberless, I vow to free them. This whole notion that there are separate beings is both true and not true. Now, if we just pretend that it's not true and we say that everything is one, we can lose the point of saving all beings. If somebody is hungry, I do them no good by just saying to them, hey, just chill out. Everything's one. When I am hungry, I can't just say everything's one, so I'm the eggplant. I have to eat it. If others are starving, I need to help and feed them. When we slip too far into the side of everything being oneness, meaning that we are denying the other side of the coin, that everything is also independent, we are of no service to anybody. We have to recognize the independent existence of beings. Then we can be of service. And this includes ourselves. This includes my headache. If I have a headache, I have to recognize its existence in order to address it. I take medicine, I drink water, I get sleep. This is how I help to alleviate suffering in myself and in the world. And it's also important to look more deeply into the independent existence of each thing. And this is part of our Dharma work, our Dharma practice on the cushion, is to look very deeply into the nature of each independent being and to realize that independent beings also do not exist. We've talked about this before, but the most simple things, the existence of a rainbow is dependent on everything else to be what it is. It depends on the air. It depends on sunlight. It depends on moisture. It depends on somebody seeing it from a particular angle. All of these things come together, and the rainbow is born. The rainbow is made of non-rainbow elements. So it is with each independent existence. Each thing is made of things that are not itself. The self is made of non-self elements. We suffer greatly when we think of a self as only existing as an independent essence. We lose our interconnectedness. We actually lose the deepest source of meaning in our lives, which is the way that we are intimately interwoven with all beings in the universe. And this is also how there is no death. Yes, we are independent existences who die, but this is also, in a way, a kind of idealization. It's a narrative. It's a story that we tell. It is useful. It is helpful. It helps us alleviate suffering in the world, including our own. I need to be able to tell the difference between food that is healthy for me and something that will poison me. Do not neglect the side of the practice and truth that is the independent existence of things. And look deeply and see that each independent existence also does not exist as a separate entity. Everything interwoven and made of things that are not themselves. There is only the universe, universing. Now, again, noticing if we slip into there only being oneness, then the independent existence of all things begins to emerge. It's quite fascinating. We sit in our practice and we feel that there's only the universe, and then we get an itchy head. And we say, I have an itchy head. It's an itch standing out in the foreground in the midst of this boundless space that is all beings, unseparated, undifferentiated, and then itchy head. Miraculous. It's both. When we slip too far into oneness, the independent existence of all things emerges. When we slip too far into independent existence, we can look deeply and we can see that all things are also one. And so Shunryu Suzuki says, not one, not two, both one and two. Recognizing both sides is so important in this practice. It is in many ways the fundamental point. Our recognition of independent existences is what allows us to function in this world and save all beings one at a time, situationally dependent. One person has one kind of an issue that we can help with, and another person has a different kind of issue that we can help with. We ourselves experience one kind of issue and then a different kind of issue. And if I treat them as if they are the same, like they are all one, I will kill myself. I cannot eat Tylenol alone. We must honor the side of the truth that we call relative truth. And we can recognize that relative truths are dependent on other factors, that they have no intrinsic essence of their own. My headache is dependent on other causes and conditions to exist, be they my brain, dehydration, sleeplessness, stress, whatever else it may be. There are other factors and conditions that create, that cause, that are the headache. My brain, my neurological capacities, my body. So seeing that things exist in dependence on other factors is the middle way. Things don't have separate intrinsic essences, and yet things exist. Things have no separate self, no fixed self. Everything fluid, always becoming something else, becoming something other than what it just was. Nothing to hold on to. Quite liberating. And in this sense, to come to a kind of culminating point of that passage, there is no death. Who dies when we are always composed of things that are not ourselves? all elements that create us continue on in some form or another. In any given moment, we are made of things that are not ourselves. The food we eat that passes through us, the cells of our body constantly changing. Quite remarkable. We are composed of some 70-80% water. Think of that. That water never remains the same. We are made of non-self elements. And here we are, each thing unique, shining brightly as a separate entity. Each thing a manifestation of the whole universe. In that sense, each independent existence sacred, worthy of remarkable appreciation for being a manifestation of the universe itself. That's the Dharma. This deep appreciation that we can feel for the interconnectedness of all beings. What a miracle that you are a manifestation of the entire universe. It's with that kind of sacred appreciation that we can love one another as independent existences. I know it sounds crazy. It sounds like such remarkable contradiction, but so important to find this middle way, not to get lost in oneness, and also not to get lost in our relative truths, which are mere designations of idealizations, of temporary manifestations of how things are in this moment. Not to get lost in those, but to honor them in this moment. Itchy head. How beautiful. As we enter into things in and of themselves, we can begin to experience what we call thusness. The thing in and of itself. A shape-shifting quality of interconnectedness that is neither one nor two, both one and two. Save all beings.